Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
What kind of world are our high school seniors moving into? What was the world like when you graduated from high school that you stepped into your young adulthood? And can you imagine for our first graders now that the virtual reality in which their high school graduation will take place? We have a marker in time. I think it was Prince Harry and Meghan Markle who decided to help mark this year's graduating class by having their wedding on this weekend. But in that presentation of the royal wedding, if you tuned in, you were also hearing the royal presentation of the gospel. There it was in the readings of the scripture, the giving of the vows, the message and the sermons that was preached and the prayers that were offered. For some, that was kind of maybe like museum pieces of language of long ago that had shaped the Great Britain, United Kingdom. But my prayer, probably like yours, along the way and through the service is, ooh, this is good. Lord, may you bless. May you bless every expression of the gospel that is being offered in a way that those and the world will have ears to hear and eyes to see. What we're grateful for is in our high school seniors, they have ears that continue to hear and eyes that continue to see. Continue to see and to hear what it is that God is offering them as a confidence of their place in this world. And so it is by looking first to the call of Jesus' disciples that we can see our own place of standing even more clearly in the world in which we are. And what a world it is. Santa Fe, Texas is on the map around the world. And the tragedy in which struck there struck our hearts. That once again, not far away but nearby, we felt violence shaking the lives of children, youth, and adults. And what this type of terror seeks to do is to wreak havoc in the heart of confidence. And yet it's exactly into this kind of fear that God sends us to serve and to heal broken lives and to be able to build hope. When Jesus was calling his first disciples, he was exactly calling them into that kind of troubled world with his great hope. And they had to be asking questions. What is exactly that Jesus is wanting from us? When Hudson read the opening passage, he was calling out when Jesus called out to them, Peter and Andrew, I see that you've been fishing. I want you to come and follow me. And Andrew, I want you to trust me with your life. And Peter, I'm giving you a gift that you will one day, that's hard for you to picture, but you'll be preaching in Jerusalem. And the power of my power will be with you. And hearts will be touched and minds will be engaged and lives will be changed. But first I need for you to come and follow me and I will make you. James and John, your sons of Zebedee, you're known as kind of these extroverted, powerful people, but I need for you to know my power, for you to know your place in this world. And to Peter and Andrew and James's, John's inspirational credit, they followed the Christ and they were made in his image, filled with the promise of what Christ wanted to do, not all at once. Even as the parents can recall when your child was born and when you sent your child off to the first grade and you thought, oh my, life is changing. And then when they asked for the keys to the car and you went, oh, it really is changing. And then on the graduation day that has just happened or is soon will be to happen, that the tears will form in your eyes and you'll reflect back on those 17 or 18 years. And then you will once again commit them into God's presence for their future. To think that our graduating seniors were born either just before or just after 9/11 happened. That the 9/11 world in which we now live is the world in which they were born into, is the world that has shaped and has by which they breathe. For many of us, when we turn on our computers or open our mobile devices, it's a world in which we have immigrated to. It's a world in which we have entered somewhere along our way. But it's the world in which our high school seniors were born into. They know this world. It's a world in which they're giving shape. But the world of change has always been a part of us, and asking questions has been a way to learn, asking questions of God. You know, Google every second has asked 40,000 questions. which means in the span of one day, there are millions and millions of questions that are asked, and 1.2 trillion questions asked of Google every year. And most of those questions have to do about love or getting information of how to live life. In the Bible, there are 3,300 questions that are asked, and intriguingly, most of them were asked by God. Not that God didn't know the answer, but God wanted to know if they knew the answer. If those men and women in his time were really having ears to hear and eyes to see, if they were paying attention to what God had showed them. And Jesus would ask questions like, and so what really is most important? The great commandment would be the answer. Which one really showed compassion? It would be the Good Samaritan. Who do you say that I am? And to that Peter would say, well, I remember when that day we first started following you, and what I've learned is that you are Christ, the Son of God. God asks us questions in our own life today to make sure that we're paying attention, kind of a gut check time in our soul. And so as we live each day, there is that next stage in our own applying our own graduation of where we go forward. It begins by first learning. What we discover is how we learn. That in the midst of learning, the word disciple itself means to be a learner. Being a lifelong learner is imperative. It's one estimate is that the body of knowledge that we have today will only be 3% of the body of knowledge in 15 years from now. And the more that we discover, the more that knowledge is laid out in our world, it speeds up the pace of change. And as change speeds up, then that means we ourselves are having to adapt to the change which is there. And you could feel like you're always trying to catch up. And what God says is, remember this, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I'm the author of time. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. And if you're in the midst of time, in the midst of change, you don't see the big picture, then you are going to feel like you're always running to catch up and you can never do enough. But if we get on the front side of the questions, if by a living relationship with the Christ, by coming and following with him and actually learning from him by a first relationship and then putting his teachings into practice, well, Jesus gave us this promise. If you'll hear my words and you'll put them into practice, then you'll be like the wise graduate who built his life, her life, upon a solid foundation. And when the storms of life came with heavy rains and strong winds, then that person's life held together by the foundation. But the person who didn't think the foundation mattered, that person endured the same storms, but the wind and the rain blew and flooded it away. All of us have lived long enough to know that these floods will come, these winds will blow. And so God in his graciousness gave us the Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, 10 days after his ascension, so that we could have kind of a sparkling, powerful day to be aware of what's always been true, that the Spirit of God is alive and real as his very presence in our midst. And so Jesus was showing the disciples through his 3 years of ministry, as you learn from me, know that my Spirit is with you. And one day it will come that I won't physically be here, but I'll still be with you. You can picture, Peter and Andrew and James and John going, "How? What do you mean? You're going to be with us, but you're not going to be here? How does that work?" And so in the 1,000 days of ministry, they were learning to lean into a trust with the Christ so that when his crucifixion occurred, which looked like failure, only to show itself as the grand success of resurrection. And when the grand resurrection was showing itself as a prevailing word of Jesus having won, then he moved on physically to be with us spiritually, called the Comforter and Counselor. That gives us the confidence in our life. For you to hear Jesus saying, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Are you your name, disciple, which means a learner, learning from Jesus? Are you a doer? See, being and doing are the flip sides of the same life. We being is the content of our life. Doing is the action of our life. Being needs to be put into action because that's the fulfillment of who we are by how we live our lives on behalf of others. But doing needs the roots that comes from having content, being a person that is actually has something to offer within the world. And one of the greatest fears that happens not only for high school graduates, but can happen to any of us, if we wonder, am I good enough to make it? Am I smart enough? Am I talented enough? Will I be liked enough to be able to make it? I remember after my graduation from high school, I sold books in North Carolina, as I shared a story with you recently. I thought I'd completed all the paperwork to go to Baylor, and I was accepted, and come to find out I didn't complete the paperwork for a dorm that I was supposed to live in. So I arrive at school, and my mother's kind enough to be there with me and ready to move into Penland Hall, only discover they didn't have a room for me. And I immediately saw Mother putting on her problem-solving skills, and we went to the dean of students and said, oh yeah, we'll put you in a basement over here. And we were in the basement of Brook Hall. And the sense of, am I going to have a place to be, to stay? But the ways of God will always show there's a place to be. And that throwaway basement that I lived in my first year was exactly the best place for me to be. The sense of the doing of our life is the engagement of our life. And it's trusting that God has a purpose for us. So Jesus told Peter and Andrew, James and John, and the other disciples, as he called them, listen, the world has a tremendous need. In Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38, he talks about the field being widened to harvest. The widen to harvest means there is great need, and it's a timing that God is ready to show how his gospel can change lives, meet the needs of people, and take a hurting world and to build hope within it, a person at a time by each disciple touching the lives of others in the name of Christ. And he said, now pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out his workers. High school graduates who have just now moved to the back pews, you've been prayed for because our world is widened to harvest. You've been prayed for because our world needs exactly who you are as you continue to learn and continue to do the way of Christ. But here's the good news for all of us here. The same message is here for each of us to apply. John Gardner is the person who said, it's not that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's just that an old dog thinks that he didn't need to learn new tricks. That's for the young puppies. And besides, somewhere along the way, the old dog's getting consumed by the worry of being able to pay off the mortgage on the doghouse. See, the stuff of life can get in the way of actually living life. So we don't hold back. Don't try to live somebody else's life. Wherever you are in your life, live your life, only your life. God made your life so only you would be able to live it with your DNA and your soul, and then to let your life be engaged with others' lives because they need who you are. Don't hold back. With the kind of eagerness of what it means to take that next step in going forward. Then renew yourself, that we're first to be learners. Come and follow me, and I'll make you into my disciples. Learn from me. Okay. And then be doers. You learn by doing. All of us here have understood the biggest learning in life has actually come as we've done the lessons that we thought we had learned. And we put into practice. We think, how is that? Do you read the instructions before you put something together in your house? Are you one who that you begin to put together whatever needs to be put together and you think, oh, I don't know how to do this. I think I'll read the instructions to go with this. We all have a different beginning place, but it's the sense of the doing that we figure out what we know and we don't know. And it's never a failure. You need to hear that. It's never a failure when you don't know. It's the failure when you're not willing to learn how to do what you need to do. On that first Pentecost Sunday, the disciples were like, we don't know. We're going to be here, and we're going to worship, and we're going to talk to our friends, and we're going to be in Jerusalem, and I think God said He's going to do something special in our midst, and wow. Then God just took it to the next level because they were willing, they were available. They took their not knowing how to be in place. Sam Dawson, a wonderful leader and servant in the life of our church, was speaking to the graduating class of engineers at the University of Texas. You can YouTube this and see it. Typical of Sam, it was a very brief message, and cogent and penetrating. The very beginning of his message began like this. He was first in his gown, and he was behind the dais, and he said, I want you to repeat after me, all of you, repeat after me, these words, I don't know. And they did. The students, the graduates, the professors. Because what Sam was communicating, it's only when we're aware of what we don't know that we can get to the place that we learn what we need to know to. And that way we're not pretending in life. And we don't cause problems because we're pretending to know something we don't know or be someone that we're not. God wants you to be you. In the doing, we learn that, and then we do the renewing. And the renewing is just continuing to be updated with the Lord. I mean, with your mobile devices, there's always the next update that's needed, because your software needs that update. And we worship on Sunday morning because it's an update of the Holy Spirit in the life of the community of faith of Trinity Baptist Church and the San Antonio community. When you awaken in the morning and you have your time of prayer, whether it's a 5-second prayer, a 5-minute prayer, or an extended prayer, God's wanting to update you for that day. And then in the midst of that update, to have you prepared for what is ahead of you. And so it is in that renewing to be with Him. And Jesus was up front. He says, I get it. You're going to be bumped. You're going to be bruised. It's going to be bloody moments in the stages of your life. And know that that's what happened to me, Jesus said. But when I went to the cross, I took all the suffering, the pain that you yourself will go through. And I took it on me. And I provided a way for you to get through that so I can renew you. In the middle of his teaching ministry with the disciples, somewhere along the way, Peter and Andrew and James and John were saying, this is hard. I thought this was going to be easy. And Jesus said, there are stretches that are really easy, and there are stretches that are really hard. And don't let the hard keep you from enjoying the easy, and don't let the easy bore you to miss the hard. Because ultimately, in God's hands, it's all good in His hands. So come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened by the push and pull of life. You'll find your rest in me in such a way that you will feel the ease of my presence being with you. And I'll renew you. I'll refresh you. And this is key. He finishes this promise out of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I'm going to refit the purpose of your life to who you are right now. And it's going to fit good. Now get back out there. I'm with you. He didn't say, come just stay here. He said, get back out there. And I'm going with you in the power, my power. Go and win. I'm with you. Are you out there every day on His power? Are you out there every day by His strength being your strength, His knowledge being your knowledge, His way being your way, His heart beating in your heart? And just when you say, Lord, I don't think I can do it, you can hear God whispering to you, I'm glad I got your attention. Because now you're positioned right where you need to be. I will let you do it. I'll let you do it through me. And high school graduates, I think you already know this because you're impressive. But just in case you thought this is as hard as it gets, well, you already know that's not true. It's just the confidence builder for the rest of your life. The God who got you here is going to see you through. Let's pray. Lord our God, we love you. And we are grateful for you. And that the power of your love makes it all possible for our lives to matter in this world. Be with us now as we do the updating of our life in light of this invitation and in light of this response to you in Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.